Well, we have delightedly welcomed Pastor Sherry to come up and say something, just like I thought she might.
I just can't not be here as we introduce our guests.
Yes, oh, please, go for it.
Amen. Kimmy Hill is with us this morning.
Can you hear her? Is her microphone on?
We are blessed to have her and her children with us. Kimmy's husband came to the school that Pastor Carl founded at Living Faith Fellowship, Pullman Christian School. Golly, Kimmy, 43 years ago?
He was in the fourth grade.
He was in the fourth grade when he came to our school. And so it's like introducing my own children, our grandchildren, to you this morning. Kevin is a great guy. Her husband is just terrific. We've loved him for a long time. And many of you have met Kimmy's mother-in-law, and that's Millie Hill. And Millie came and coordinated Pastor Kev's and my wedding when we had it here five plus years ago. And so we're very close to this family, and introducing Kimmy is like introducing my own daughter in the Lord. She's a precious, precious young woman who has always put Jesus first. It has been glorious to see her. She was one of our worship team in Pullman as she danced before the Lord and worshiped and led many, many, many young college girls into deeper, intimate relationship with the Lord. And those young women are still walking with Jesus. So her ministry has followed her wherever she's gone. And now they're in Hawaii at the oldest church in Hawaii, a historic site. So they have many visitors come through. So they can just minister and minister and minister as the visitors come through their church. So anyway, it's a delight. Pastor Kev, what else do you have to add?
Just these are precious friends with us. I'm going to have Kimmy come on up. Let's give her a great welcome, Kimmy Hill, Pastor Kimmy Hill. She pastors again with her husband, Kevin. She's got two of her children with us this morning. And if you'll take a moment to introduce them and let us know what you're doing in Hawaii. But when we had the opportunity to know that Pastor Kimmy was going to be in the area, Pastor Sherry said, let's have her come and speak. And so we know you're in for a real precious treat in the presence of the Lord as she shares the word of the Lord. So Pastor Kimmy, we welcome you. It's a joy and honor to be with you. They got home before we did. They got to our house before we did, and so we didn't even have a chance much to greet them until this morning, but we are just delighted and honored you're here. Again, let's welcome them.
Thank you so much. It is really, truly special for me to be here. If it wasn't for Pastor Sherry, Pastor Carl, Pastor Kevin, I would not be a Christian today. They founded me. I ran off to college from Hawaii to WSU, and I was searching for something more. And I found them, and Pastor Sherry's gift to my life was her letting Jesus know you message. And that message changed my life. It caused me to be using a spiritual notebook to hear the voice of God, to know God. And as a result of that, to see many miracles of God happen in my life. And I'm very truly grateful. Pastor Kevin led our home leaders classes. And, you know, there's just some sayings that will never leave us. And one of the ones that Pastor Sherry used to always say is, it is my first business every morning to make sure my heart is happy in God. And I still live by that. But as for me, I get as close to him as I can. Does that sound familiar to you guys? And Pastor Kev, one of his sayings that has so just continually been in the forefront of my husband and I is, you will impart who you are. So what are you going to do about who you are? And those things we've lived by. So it's truly a delight. Look at me. I'm a mess already. Oh my, let's see if I can get through this morning. It's just really special to be here. It really is. And I know that you're a special people because your pastors are probably some of the best pastors on the planet. And I mean, I say that truly, and I'm sure you know it. They are the cream of the cream of the crop. So it's really sweet for me to be here with you this morning. This picture here is my husband. This is us in Hawaii. And my husband, you know, I've listened to a lot of great preachers, lots and lots of great preachers, but he's my favorite to listen to. So that's a picture of the two of us, and he sends his love. And then the next photo is our children. So this is our five kids. We have five children. And two of them are here today, Sierra and Tucker. So I'm going to introduce them a little bit about them. Sierra is there all the way to the my right, your left. She just graduated yesterday on Friday in radiology, got her BA. So actually, the enemy really didn't want us to come because she was in a car accident yesterday morning and tried to upset us. But we're still here. Praise the Lord. And then my oldest is Colton. He's actually in Seattle right now, has an interest in real estate. So he's going to be pursuing that. And then Brandy is next. She's our youngest. She's a freshman in high school doing cross country and swim. And she wants to have an orphanage someday, has a heart for Japan. And there's me and my husband. And then there's Tuck. Tuck's here with us today, my 17-year-old passionate man. And then Dakota is on the end, and he is multi-talented. He's in a community college, kind of finishing up this year, but he preaches and sings and dances and acts. He was just the Mad Hatter over this weekend in a play. So anyways, that's our world-changing brood. Praise the Lord. My brood of world changers. They are going to change the world, no question. I believe it. So, oh, let's see. There's another picture of all of them last Christmas, a couple Christmases ago. We did a country thing, and that's them being goofy. Best pictures of all are those of your children and grandchildren, aren't they? Yes. And then this is our historic church. It's over 125 years old. When I think we celebrated that in 2017. And then I've got some pictures of the inside there, just so you can kind of get a feel of our congregation and what it looks like. Those beautiful stained glass windows. Yeah, it's just got a lot of charm. Yeah, just a lot of charm. And we love being there. We've been the pastors there for about 4 years now. And, you know, I didn't know, but we've got a ministry to the homeless. And we've got at least five people in our congregation who used to live on the streets and are no longer on the streets. And we have another five who are on the streets and who are faithful attenders. And that makes up a quarter of our congregation is people that have been homeless or are homeless. And they're just coming in off the streets, and God is really changing their lives. Miraculous stories, just people that, you know, were destitute that we found in our parking lot and took home for 2-3 weeks and just kind of helped to get back on their feet. And, you know, it's been a journey with many of them, but God is just doing just wonderful and beautiful things through them. Just a little bit about what my husband and I have done since we left Pullman. We went to Hawaii. We actually were Healing Room directors for about 14 years, and we pioneered another little church from scratch for 4 or 5 years. And we took a trip to China, a missionary trip, and ministered to sophomore college students would be in the States who'd never been to a youth camp before. We took 26 adults and teenagers up there and ministered to orphanages and in the villages. And it was such a phenomenal trip. We ministered in Beijing. It was the first time this camp was ever been used. They took a park in Beijing and they copied all the bells and whistles of our greatest parks in the United States. And it was the first time anyone was using the park, and that was our missionary team. And we got in there with 150 of these Chinese students that were going into their sophomore year in high school who had never been to camp in their life, who, you know, study 60 hours a week. And it was so life-changing of a trip. I mean, they videotaped everything. These men and women, high school kids, just crying. And that the government, the communist government of China, refunded all of our tickets so we would come back. That's crazy. And, you know, it was very incognito as far as we couldn't say anything about Christ. And we were working through every one of the team members had a translator. But but most of the translators were Christian. And God just divinely worked it out that way through the coordinator that coordinated the whole thing. And it was just an amazing trip. And then the other fun thing we've got to do, my husband and I went down to the Dominican Republic, and we did a huge 300 church, whatever, in a stadium. It was a healing conference for pastors down there, and I saw lots of deaf and blind and lame walk. And that was also just an amazing trip for us. And so just some fun things that we've gotten to do. And now we're here pastoring Central Christian Church. And it is one of the oldest churches on the island. And it has got an amazing, amazing history. The land that we are on is revival land back in the, yeah, it's revival land. Titus Cohen had one of the top five revivals in the history of the world here in this place, where 95% of the Hawaiian Islands were Christian. And his home is about a stone's throw away from the church. We could just throw the rock and hit where his actual home was. And so this entire area that we're in was where this revival took place. And so we're believing for great and mighty things to continue to happen there, and excited to be a part of what God's doing. So praise the Lord. Those are some of the fun highlights. They're not all the tears and struggles, but there have been many of those as well, because we're real people. Amen. All right. So I want to pray before I get started, because that's normally what I do. So Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. I just ask that you use me this morning to bless your people, to bless your family of God. And what a treasure it is, Lord, that we are your family, that we're going to be worshiping you for all eternity together. I just ask you to pour fresh revelation and inspiration through me this morning. Touch the hearts of your people, Lord God. Let what I bring minister to them deeply and encourage them in their faith. Strengthen them this morning. In Jesus' name. All right. So I want to share something with you that I've just recently learned in the last couple of months. And some of you might be familiar with this, but it's called the power pose. And they're using it in collegiate circles and in interview circles. And they're encouraging people to take this pose, because if you take this pose for 2 minutes, what ends up happening in your body is your cortisol, which is your stress levels, depression, oppression, things like that, start to go down. And your testosterone, which is your risk-taking, your boldness, starts to go up by 25%. So the bad stuff goes down by 25%, and the good stuff goes up by 25%. And all you need to do is strike this pose for 2 minutes. And the thing that I think is so remarkable about this is the power pose is also the victory pose. And it's also the pose of surrender. And it's also the worship pose. And so doing this, lifting your hands up in worship, when you cross the finish line, you got your victory pose. When somebody's got a gun to your back, you've got your surrender pose. And this is the worship pose. And so if you can, I'd like for you to stand and do this with me. And we're just going to do some declarations. I'm really big on declarations. I usually start my messages out with declarations. And because they're powerful, amen? So just go ahead and raise your hands and just repeat after me. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Reveal your plan for my life. I am here this morning by divine appointment. Holy Spirit, I welcome you here. In this place, in my heart, release your glory. Let your glory be manifested here. I'm open to you, your wisdom, your influence, your inspiration, your power, and your help. Take me to new levels of love, of intimacy, of joy. I submit myself to you. I resist the devil. I renounce everything and anything holding me back from my purpose in you and from fresh revelation from heaven. Encourage me. Energize me. Set me on fire afresh. Make me like you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We can all go home now. Oh, I love doing declarations. They just, so you should all be feeling better right about now, right? Everything bad went down, everything good just went up, and all you have to do is strike this pose. You can go online and read more about that. There's a couple other poses. If you do the Wonder Woman pose with your hands on your hips like that, that works as the power pose too. All right, so is anybody facing a battle this morning? Is anybody in a battle? No, you guys don't got no battles any longer. You guys are just doing good. Every day, it seems like we're in a war. War breaking out, battles all over the place all the time. This is the title of my message, Taking Your Promised Land in 2020. Victory is in our mouth. And, we just are all always facing hard things. And even at your guys' age, retirement age, there's battles with your kids and your grandkids. You know, there's illness, there's financial hardship. There's so much going on. And we live in this world where all the news is so negative all the time. And it can be very, very discouraging. And Christmas time can especially be a time that's difficult. We know we're supposed to be happy because Christ came into the world and we want to celebrate him. But it's difficult if we've lost loved ones, if we've got issues going on in our family, with our friends, things that might be hard during this season. And so if there's a conflict in this season all the time. And my husband and I have gone through a couple of difficult years, the last couple of years. And so I've had to learn a few things in my faith. And the first year was really rough. But in this last year, I've learned a few things, and I want to share those with you this morning, because battles can be exhausting and very emotionally trying, very wearisome, and heart-wrenching, especially when they involve people we love, our family, our friends. They act like trauma to our soul. And I listening to the prophetic word this morning about splitting the mountain, there are mountains that God wants us to split. Amen. And he has empowered us to be able to do that, or he would have never said, speak to this mountain. So he has empowered us. And some of these battles, however, they're not just done in a weekend, right? Some of them, they go on for weeks, months, even years, some even decades. And how do we sustain our faith when we're in a battle that lasts a long time and that continually challenges our faith? And that's what I want to share about this morning, because we are going into the year 2020. And, you look on the TV and you just look around and we're in uncertain times, aren't we? There's a lot going on in our world, in our country. And Pastor Sherry had, our church back in Pullman had what they called a Joshua, Caleb, and Deborah company. Yay. Yeah. It was a discipleship company. It was an evangelistic company. It was a leadership company to develop college students. And I was in the first group of that company. I was the youngest, I think, me and my husband. There was three of us, Mark, the three of us. We were the youngest, but we were in that first company of Joshua, Caleb, and Deborah disciples. And so the book of Joshua kind of holds a special place in my heart. I try to read it first thing every single year so that I go into that year ready with fresh inspiration and with the mentality that is needed to face whatever is going to come my way. And so I want to share about that, about a portion of scripture in Joshua. So just the backdrop is they've spent 40 years in the wilderness, as many of you know. I know to be your age, your Bible-believing Bible readers. They spent 40 years in the wilderness, and the people of Israel, they faced several challenges there. And when Moses died, there was a generational transfer of leadership that was happening to Joshua. So that was the first thing. This generational transfer of leadership the baton needed to be passed. Then they inherited multiple years of giants of battles, of facing battle after battle. And they needed to prepare this entire generation who were, you know, young and had never been in war for war. So that's what needed to happen. And I love Joshua because it's kind of intimidating when you think about taking over for Moses. You know, Moses was the one who, you've got 2.3 million people and you're all believing for manna every day. You know, Moses facilitated that. Moses was the guy that came down off the mountain with glory on his face. Whoa, wow. The glory of God, right? On Moses. Moses was the one who parted the Red Sea. One of the biggest miracles, right? That was Moses. Moses was the guy who spoke to the rock, right? And water gushed out. Moses was the guy that if you rebelled, the ground opened up and swallowed you up. I mean, Moses was Moses, you know? And there was nobody else like Moses. And so Joshua comes along, and this is what in Joshua 1:2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your feet tread, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. So here Joshua is, you know, having to take over Moses. And the very first thing God says is, go on and arise and cross the Jordan. Well, what you guys don't know is that the Jordan River, this was during flood time. Oh, you know, just go cross the Jordan. 156 miles wide was the Jordan River. It was normally anywhere from 3 to 12 feet deep, but now it was flooded. And I don't know if you guys get flood warnings around here, but in Hawaii, floods are pretty serious. We get the beep, 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 you know, nobody go out because it's the roads are being flooded. And flood time is not the time to go swimming in the rivers. It's not the time to go crossing over the rivers. It is life threatening to do this during flood time. And this is what God told Joshua. This is going to be your very first assignment. Just go wade across that river. So this is what Joshua needed to do. It was an insurmountable obstacle for them. And he's got all these new, an entire new generation that didn't get to see likely the splitting of the Red Sea. If they did, they were really, really young. And God goes before the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua knew to do that. He sends the Ark of the Covenant before them. And I love that because that was God manifesting himself to this new generation, letting them know, I am going to go before you. I have gone before you and I will always go before you. And in Isaiah 43:2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I believe there's lots of people in this room that probably have crossed their Jordans. They've come out the other side. But God's not done. God's not done. Every single person who's breathing in this room, it's because God has a specific plan and purpose of another life that he wants you to touch, or you would have already been gone. He would have already taken you to heaven by now. But he has this purpose and this plan for each one of us. That's why we are all still breathing, because he wants us to be the light of the world. So the parting of this Jordan reinforced God's love to this new generation. They crossed it just like their fathers and grandfathers did. The waves parted just like the Red Sea, and they saw this amazing miracle happen before their eyes. And it was an encouraging thing to the people of Israel. They spent battle after battle after battle, and God gives us these problems. And I've seen it more in the last year, I think, than ever before. He gives us problems and these difficult situations to make us stronger, because he really is creating warriors, because he really is creating a dependency that we could not do on our own. There is no way we could run to God like we do in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of insurmountable, impossible situations. But he does that. because he loves us, because he's doing something in us that would never be done anywhere else, and because it's how we become stronger. It's how we grow in our faith, how we trust God more, how we know the goodness of God to a level that we may never have known prior. And that is what they are for our benefit and purpose. And that's where we discover who God really is and who we really are as his people, as his children. God gives us a vision or a problem so great, it forces us to need one another. We can't win our battles solo. No one ever has. Do you know that? They went up against Jericho with an army. So if we don't involve other people in our battles, and that's what the family of God is for, that's what we are here for each other, then what is the risk of that? We are potentially at risk of losing the battle. And that's why we have to involve others. We need to become needy. We need to have prayer partners and involve people in what's going on intimately in all of our lives so that other people can be a part to see those battles come about to fruition. I've had several really, really life-changing battles in my life that have been won. One of them was our son Dakota. He was our third child. At 8 months old, he had a 2-inch aneurysm in the middle of his brain. It was absolutely fatal. They didn't even do the surgery on children. They only did them on adults, and 8 out of 10 died on the operating table. All the instruments were too large for an 8-month-old baby. But that surgery, there was multiple surgeries. That was done. They had to go in through an artery in his hip, up through his lung, into his brain to shut off the aneurysm at the exact time to release this coil. There was one person in the United States who was known for doing this particular surgery, and he was in Salt Lake City, Utah, and they flew us down there to him. So we had the best doctor do that. And, you know, they let us know that if he even comes out alive, he could be a vegetable, he could be blind, he could be never walk again, all of this stuff. And Dakota came out of that literally without a scratch. I mean, God just moved powerfully. And that miracle was one because we had a church family that was praying for us and for our baby. When I watched my son on a stage today, when I watched him play his first soccer game and lift up his hands in victory, I remember what God has done.
Yes, amen.
Amen. My daughter Sierra here at 3 years old was diagnosed with a condition where a virus attached itself to her hip. I woke up one morning and she couldn't walk, literally. Was fine one day, next day, couldn't walk. I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was a joke. I went to the doctor and he told me, your daughter may never walk again. She's got 15 days if the virus spreads, she won't walk again. And we went to battle for that. We had just purchased this house. I was convinced the house was haunted, but hey, we got the victory, right? We're going to cast out spirits out of this house. We took a group of amazing people and they went in and they prayed over that house. And within the hour, my daughter was walking. That was a victory. That was won. I'm here to tell you, God has victories for us that can come through him and his people if we stand in faith. And when it matters, it really matters. It really matters. There are battles that we cannot afford to lose. And there are Jerichos that God wants us to take. So Jericho, when you're done crossing the flooded Jordan, I want you to take Jericho. Jericho, of all places. Jericho was one of the longest, in fact, even now in the history of the world, it's like, I think, the second longest city that's been around in the world. That was Jericho. Jericho had two walled, what are they called? Walled. It was a double walled city. They were 9 feet thick, 13 feet high. And no one in Israel, no one in that group of kids, young Israel, had seen a double walled city before, much less taken a double walled city. They were as inexperienced as they could possibly be. They had no grid for how this impossible task was going to be taken down. It was the impossible task in Israel. And many of us are facing, we have these impossible situations going on with our kids, with our grandkids, with illnesses, with finances, marriages. I mean, I am always blown away when I hear the statistics of what's happening in our world. And I just want to share with you, Hawaii, my island alone, has one of the highest drug epidemics in our entire nation. And we live on a tiny little island. I'm like, how is that even possible? Over New York, Chicago, California, Texas? Really? On my island. It's got one of the highest sex trafficking going on underneath everybody's noses because it's a tourist destination. And because we've got military in and out. It is ridiculous what our generation is facing. The homosexuality thing is at an all-time high. The suicide rates are at an all-time high. The generation of kids today are facing so many issues that we never had to face growing up. And this is the generation that if we don't reach is going to be lost. And there are grandparents in this room. You have no idea. You know what I call you guys? I call you guys the secret spy. Because you guys can say things that no one else can say and get away with it. Okay? There's so much love gushing out of you that you can say it and you can say it however you want to say it and it's going to sink in. Because you have the love of God in your heart and you have seen things through the ages who has made you who you are. And there are people that God wants you to be pouring and investing your life in, not just your family, but truly young people who need you. And you know, it just takes us pressing in. I was in major college ministry because we lived in a college town. I had four kids and I was still in college ministry. Well, I'm still in college ministry. I've not given up college ministry. I had a couple college students come into my church a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, Lord, I know you're going to take me back up on that campus. I know I'm going to end up being up there, even at my age. I look a lot younger than I am. I've had five kids, okay? And I had one gal, I pressed into her. I got together with her three times in the last several months. They didn't come back to my church, not yet. But I pressed in, got together with them, not thinking I'm making a load of difference, nothing. But I'm sharing my testimony, I'm sharing my heart, I'm throwing out pearls of wisdom. You know, I wanna help them get on the right foot as best as they can, right? Whether they're going to receive what I have or not, I'm trying to get that in there because I don't want them to make the mistakes. I don't want their lives to go astray. And it came back to me. My son, Dakota, who's attending, he's our youth leader, but plus he goes to two or three other college things. But she did a little testimony at one of these college things. And she was supposed to share about the people that have ministered to her, blessed her the most. And she shared about me. I'd met her three times. And she shared about how impactful I was to her life. And then I found out her little roommate had met my husband over a year ago. Kevin did not remember. Kev had given her a Bible. She had read the Bible. And now she's asking me if I can baptize her. And she's going to get baptized on the 31st before we go into the new year. And I'm just here to tell you, you do not know what a few seeds and you pressing into someone's life is going to do. But God wants to use each one here. Just press into someone's life and let them know God loves them. So when you are facing your greatest strongholds, what do you do? What do you do when you're facing double walls in your health, in your marriage, in your grandkids, your kids, your finances? When life has real, true struggles and these battles really, really matter. Some of these are eternal battles that we cannot lose. How do we sustain our faith while we are waiting for the miracle to happen? While we are waiting for those Jericho walls to fall down? Well, God said to Joshua, arise. We cannot stay still. We need to move. We need to continue to move forward. We can't take the luxury of hiding away in our rooms, you know, burying ourselves under the ground because we feel bad about something we've done in shame or whatever. We need to get it right with God so that God can bring us out of the shadows and we can move forward. Amen. We have to move forward. And my husband and I, we have this thing right now when things all go to pot. You know, and since we've raised 5 kids, anything over 4 and your world's a chaos. I don't care if you have 15 kids or you have 4. Anything over 4 and life's just chaotic. So we're kind of used to multiple schedules all the time, you know, and just trying to coordinate everybody's schedules and all this crazy stuff. But what was I going to say? What do you do when it's just chaos? What do you do? And so one of the things that we've done is we throw up our arms and we say, we're getting an upgrade. We're getting an upgrade. We're going to new levels. Woohoo! That's what we say. We're getting our upgrade because that's what God has in mind for us. Through whatever is going on, we're going to get our upgrade. Amen. We don't get more faith by doing nothing. By going on vacation. It just doesn't happen. We get it by putting one foot in front of the other and standing fast on who God is. And when we walk with God, victory is only a matter of time. Amen? It's only a matter of time. We just have to be faithful and stay in it. So our mandate, we've been called by the Word of God. By the Spirit of God in our intimacy, in our time with Jesus, God has spoken specific things. In Matthew, I must have taken it out of my notes. Did I put it up there, Matthew? Yeah, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I really want to challenge you, if you don't have somebody you're pouring your life into, find someone. If you don't have at least one person you're meeting with, you're pouring your life into, you're sharing a cup of coffee with, and sharing your testimony or your faith with, find someone. Our testimony is probably the most impactive thing that we have to share. And many of us have multiple testimonies that we can share. And so Joshua 1:8, the answer, how to sustain our faith, how to take the land in 2020, how to have this mentality of victory that can go for the long, for the distance. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. We have to read it, speak it. That word meditate, it comes from the Hebrew word 1897. It does mean to ponder and to imagine like what we think it means, but it also means to murmur, to roar, to speak, to study, to utter. To talk. And so meditation is more than just thinking about and mulling it over, but it really is letting it be spoken forth from our mouth. Speak it and speak it and speak it and don't say anything else. You know, God told the people of Israel to shut their mouths because that is where we lose the battle. We lose the battle when we open our mouth and we come into agreement with the enemy instead of coming into agreement with God. And I'll give you an illustration. I had a pain in my knee for many years, and you know, we were the healing room directors. But and it would get healed, and then about 2-3 days later or a week or two later, the pain would come back. And I would say, "Oh shoot, I didn't get healed." Right then, I would come into agreement with the enemy. The lie of the enemy. And so my knee would not be healed. And this went on clearly for 10 years. And I'm just like, what is going on? My knee gets healed and then it doesn't. And I can't figure it out. Like, what's going on? And then I realized it was because I continued to come into agreement with this lie. And that is all the enemy can ever do. Is lie to you. He is a liar. He's a deceiver. Right? That's all he can ever do until we come into agreement with it. And then We've lost because we've come into agreement with him instead of agreement with God's word. Can you imagine if the children of Israel would have talked, going around? Sometimes we feel like we're going around in circles around Jericho. But they would have been like, Sierra, do you see the crack in the wall? We've been walking around this. I don't see no crack happening. Do you see a scratch on that wall? No. They would have lost their faith if they were able to talk, because unbelief and doubt would have come throughout the day. And sometimes on the last day, they had to go around in circles 7 times. Can you imagine the exhaustion? This is a city. It's a walled city. Just think of a city. Cities are large. And they had to walk around. They were literally exhausted. And sometimes that's what it feels like right before the breakthrough. Right before the breakthrough, it feels like I've been going around in circles and praying and praying and standing in faith. And here I am, God. I'm exhausted. But it's right before that the breakthrough happens. Right before. So we have to continue to sustain our faith by speaking the word of God and nothing else. And standing on it and believing it and declaring it and letting it be the rudder to the ship and nothing else. And, you know, we need the Holy Spirit's help to do that, because we're so quick to lose our victory when we open our mouth. We're so quick to come into agreement with the enemy because of however we feel or the circumstances or what we see. And it's especially important now in this time of history. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Jewish holiday, but I want to share a little bit about it. And I actually preached a whole message on it during Rosh Hashanah. But in the Jewish culture, on Rosh Hashanah, September 29th, they go into their new year. So we're just coming into ours, right? 2020. Well, their new year is 5780. They were in the 70s. They just went from 5779. And now they've crossed over into the year 5780. And the Jews believe that since creation till now, that's how many thousands of years? 5780 years. And that's their belief. But their language, the Hebrew language, is very rich. It's got all kinds of symbolism, pictures intertwined with their language. And they believe there is a life force of creation, that their language is the language from heaven. And that when it is spoken, there's a creation part of it. Well, of course, we are the children of God. God lives inside of us. When we speak, we create. You know, the word aloha means the breath of God. Aloha is the breath of God. That's why God has a special thing in his heart for Hawaii. Come visit me. You can come visit me. So 5780, this 80 is called the pe. And the pe, it carries numerical value. That's why it's 80. It's in the shape of a mouth. And the symbol of the pay is literally that it's going to be a decade, the next 10 years of declaring the word of God. And what you declare, what comes out is what you're going to get for the next decade. There is power in this. There is power. God is giving us his strategy for taking down Jericho's. He's giving us his strategy for how to see the impossible things come down in all of our lives. According to the Jewish book called The Ethics of Our Fathers, there were 80,000 men by the name of Aaron who all followed Aaron the high priest. I'm like, what? They all followed him to his resting place. The reason that there were 80,000 men was because Aaron was a great speaker, as you know, right, for Moses. But because he was a great speaker, he was chosen because of his great verbal skills to help with marriage counseling. And so when there were a fight in the children of Israel, Aaron would be called to come in and be the peacemaker and to appease and to soothe words and to help this couple get back together. And so the couple was so grateful for Aaron's help that when they had their first child, they named him Aaron. So you've got 80,000 Israelites named after the high priest Aaron. And because of that, that's just another reason the pay, the number 80, has such significant symbolism in that what you speak is going to has so much strength, has so much strength. So we have entered this new decade that what we say is going to be more important than ever. The year 2020 in the prophetic realm, they're saying we're going to have 2020 vision. 2020 vision. Well, in the Jewish, the 70, the letter Ayin was the letter to see. So we're coming out of this decade of seeing what the Father is doing. We're going into 2020 with this clarity of vision. And then the pay, 80, to declare and to say what God is doing. It's the strategy. In this pay, there's a couple other symbolisms that I want to share with you. They're part of the pay. There's this part of it is called a calf. It's a symbolism of a spoon, which means the container of the soul. And there's a dot. It's called the dagesh that's placed inside of the soul. And it's called the tip of the divine spark. And I just love it. I'm like, God, we are containers for you and your glory. We have the Holy Spirit. That's the spark. That's the spark of God. When we have the Holy Spirit, we have everything. Jesus went away so we could have the Holy Spirit. He left so he could give us what was needed. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we have everything that is needed for every situation. All of the gifts of the Spirit are in the Holy Spirit. All of the wisdom and revelation of God are in the Holy Spirit. And when he puts that inside of us, we have the divine spark of God to face any situation and to come out victorious. Amen. Adam spoke to, do I have that scripture? There we go. Genesis 2:19. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. Whatever God, Adam called it, that was its name. Whatever you say, whatever you call your situation, that's what it's going to be. Whatever you call that illness, that's what it's going to be. Jesus died so that we don't have to be sick. He took it all on the cross on his behalf. And as long as our confession lines up to that, we will be healed. We will be made well. Because that is the truth. Everything else is just a lie and a deception of the enemy. So we must call it whatever it is in truth. Amen? Amen. I do believe things are going to get worse before they get better. And so God's people have to stand. They have to stand as warriors in God's kingdom, victorious warriors. Last week I spoke on the scripture, be still and know that I am God. That word still is Rapha. It means to release, to let go. It actually means to be weak. It's a command to be weak, because it's in that place when we are weakest, when we've let go, when we've released everything to the Lord, that then God can be God in our lives. It's a beautiful scripture. And so this season, I love Mary. She's one of my Bible heroes. I just love Christmas time because it reminds me of who she is. It reminds me that there was this teenage girl that, you know, knew full well that it was impossible to have a baby. But she said, be it unto me according to your word. See, Mary had it. She had it as a teenager. She said, Lord, no matter what anybody else says or does, or no matter how impossible this looks, be it unto me according to your word. And that's God's mentality for victory. That's how to take down Jericho's this year. That's how to take the promises that God has given to you, is by speaking forth and declaring what you want God done. Mary did it. She said, Be it unto me, God, according to your word. That's it. I'm not going to say another word about it. Amen. Amen. Be it unto us according to God's word. Ah, Jesus is so good. So good. All right. I want to pray. God gave me a word last week, and it was a prophetic word, but I just so loved it, and I was just mulling over it all week long. And he gave me a picture of Mary being foreshadowed and the Holy Spirit coming and God impregnating her with our Jesus. And I believe that God wants to impregnate us this morning. He wants to overshadow us, and he wants to do a new thing inside each one of us. He wants you to carry something that maybe you've not carried before, something fresh and alive and good, something that he wants to birth through you. So if you could just close your eyes, I'm just going to pray a prayer. Lord, no matter what anyone is going through this morning, let us be reminded right now that the biggest problem we all faced, which was separation from you because of our sin, the biggest problem the world faced, you took care of. So let us remember this Christmas that no matter what any of us are facing, you already conquered the biggest one. And these are just small potatoes to you. So you've got it, Lord. You've got all of our troubles, all of the issues that we're facing. You've got it right in the palm of your hand. You are a big God. And we are coming into alignment with you this morning. We are coming into a place of victory where we are going to stand and declare your word. We are going to stand in this place and we are going to hang on to those promises and we are going to proclaim and declare them in truth. And we're not going to say anything else. We receive that right now into our heart and our spirit as our mentality for victory in the year 2020, to take the promises that you have put in the hearts of your people. And we say, as Mary did 2,000 years ago, be it unto us, Lord Jesus, according to your word. We refuse the lies of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. We call him a liar. We put him under our feet where he belongs. And we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We look to your strategy in this new year. And we proclaim in victory your truth. Thank you, Lord God. Overshadow us now, Lord Jesus. Overshadow your people, God. Come this morning and put within them a new thing to carry into this year. Give them new vision and new revelation and fresh inspiration. Even now, Lord God, give them vision. Show them what you want them to do. Show them the people you want them to reach out to. Show them the areas you want them to be lights in the world. Give them your purpose and your plan so that they can carry it into fruition as Mary did. As Mary did, the journey was long and hard, but she birthed our Savior. Lord, I ask you to birth through us something fresh, something that the world so desperately needs. Birth it through us, O God. Let it be so lovely. Let it draw all men to you. Let your goodness and your love overwhelm us, so that we can carry it as light into the darkness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Awesome. Well, I would love to pray for anybody that feels like they need a touch from the Lord. I'm just happy to pray for healing or give you a word of encouragement. I just want to open that up if anybody wants me to just lay hands on them and pray for them or just touch you, really. I mean, I really would like just to touch every person, maybe just make a line and come through. I had a prophet in the last year I went to a prophetic conference, and I went incognito. I didn't want to tell anybody I was a pastor. It was on the island of Maui. And so I went, and it was a unique conference. Actually, we're going to have one this year where every single person gets a prophecy. And so they had all these call-out rooms, you know, with about 50 people in them. And I got up there, and he turned the mic over to me. No one knew who I was. I was totally an outsider in this conference. And he gave the mic to me, and he said, come and get a touch from her. And I believe the reason he did that, he said, if you have a business, if you have a grandkid, if you, you know, he just wanted everybody to come and get a touch from me. But, you know, since then, God has spoken to me. And he told me something in the last year. I went to a women's conference, and the thing that I got out of it the most was in my time with Jesus. And he said that there would be a legacy that comes through me from generation to generation to generation. And when God told me that, I was really in a difficult time, and I needed that word of encouragement for my family. And I've rehearsed that word, and there's just something that God has put within me that it just makes me want to touch people. It's not just because I'm from Hawaii and I like to give hugs, but there's just something that I want to touch you. I do. I just want to touch you. And I don't know what it is. There's something in me that God wants me to give away. And so I just come on up and make a row, and I'm just going to touch you and bless you in Jesus' name.
So as you come, what we want to do is we want to thank God that Pastor Kimmy's been with us and her family's been with us this morning. And we believe the Lord will impart his presence. How many believe God is good? So, Lord, we thank you for your presence and your preciousness here this morning. And then, musicians, after you've been through the line, come on over and join us. But musicians, come on through. You wanted to come receive, and please do. And, Father, we thank you for your spirit of grace. Come on, she'll make room for you right up here.